Good morning. Welcome to worship today on this second Sunday of Lent, which happens to coincide. Many of you got the memo with St. Patrick's Day this year, so I see a lot of green out there. That's great. Marie's going to offer us a word on that at some point in just a little bit. But do want to remind folks that middle and high school youth, we're going to meet at 1 o'clock at First Lutheran today to drive up to Winston-Salem to go to the trampoline park. If you have not done so already, please make sure that you fill out the waiver on the website. If you need that link, you should have it already in a text from me. And if you can't find that, let me know, and I can resend that. Let me know after church today, and I'll do it right there on my phone so that we know that it gets done. Also today, immediately after worship, we have acolyte training for anybody who might be an acolyte in the future or is an acolyte now or needs to brush up a little bit. So looking forward to spending that time with you right after the service. You can gather right up here, and we'll probably be 25 or 30 minutes tops, and I'll try to get down here with you as soon as I can. I'm going to turn it over to Marie and let her share with us about St. Patrick's Day today.
You may have to back out the door when you go today. Oh, green. Okay, he's got it covered. Okay. I'm sure everybody probably knows, but St. Patrick is the one that started this whole thing years ago in Ireland. He was the creator of the shamrock. Did everyone get a cookie? Anybody not get a cookie? And he is actually the one that brought Christianity to Ireland. And so we celebrate that today, his beginning of Christianity in Ireland. We may not have any Irish here, but we still celebrate with the Irish. And his reason for the shamrock was, as you see on here, he used this to teach Christianity to the Irish. He used the shamrock, the three leaves of the shamrock, as the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So I'll leave you with the Irish blessing. May the road rise up to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face. The rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Thank you.
We are gathering every Wednesday night for the next 4 weeks now, including this Wednesday, for Wednesday night Lent services. We've got a meal at 5:45, and all those meals are covered now, so thanks to the groups that are filling in for that. But join us to eat at 5:45, and then we'll have a brief worship service starting at 6:30, and we're looking at gratitude and practices of gratitude in those, so I hope you can join us for those as well. Are there other announcements we should share for the good of the community today?
So these prayer shawls are for our teen parents. We're having the shower this Tuesday from 8. The girls will arrive at 8:45 till 9:45. So anyone that wants to come and just share our joy with our love of Christ with the girls are welcome.
So please, as you come up for communion, if you didn't hear, Kim, these are for the teen parents that we have a shower for over here at the, I always say this wrong, Yadkin Career Academy, is that right? The old Davis Townsend, you all know what I'm talking about, right? And that shower will be this week at, the girls will be here 8:45 to 9:45, and I think there are four girls this time, five, and one of them's having twins. So you just can decide which one you think might go to them and pray double on some of these blankets for that young woman. Other announcements we should share. We'll continue with... Oh, I should do birthdays before we do our prelude, shouldn't I? Don't want to leave anybody out. Happy birthday to Dee, Lydia, Mandy, Taylor, Walt, Rebecca, Scott, Barbara, Tracy, Whitney, and Aiden this week. And happy anniversary to Chris and Emily and Rusty and Sheila. Anybody else we should add to that list? Let's pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We stand as we begin on page 94 in the front of your book, and during the season of Lent, we will use the form on the right-hand side of the page. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess. Mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, Your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. God of the covenant, in the mystery of the cross, you promise everlasting life to the world. Gather all people into your arms and shelter us with your mercy, that we may receive in the life we share and rejoice in that life in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. If the children will join me up here for a children's message. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. I have something I want to show you guys today. This is called Utterly Smooth, all right? Anybody feel like they have dry hands today? A little bit? Okay. Anybody want to try some of this and see if it's like it's a lotion? Oh, that came right out the side, didn't it? That didn't go right. Why don't you share some now, Gavin, with everybody? Because that did not go well at all. Yeah, who else needs some? All right, anybody want some lotion? Nope, all right, great, thank you, yes. Would you like some, Brody? Okay. Ashton, you've got some? All right, how does that feel? Sometimes, you know, when you're, I got you this. Sometimes when your hands get dry, when it's cold outside, your hands get dry, and this is supposed to be a really good cream for your hands to keep them from being dry. I think maybe I didn't shake it up enough before I tried to tilt it over. So we'll see. Hopefully this helps your hands not feel so dry. And this hand cream, thank you, Utterly Smooth. Does anybody know what an udder is?
A cow.
A cow. Yeah, cows have udders, right? And look, do you see this? This cream has got like some spots on it, almost like a milk cow. You see that design on there? Why do you think this is called Utterly Smooth like a cow? Why? Do you think it's because they make this from cows? Maybe they make it from milk? Oh, good guess. It looked kind of milky when I spilled a lot of it out right there. But no, actually, because on the bottle, on some of these bottles, they put a promise on here, and they say, it's not made with milk or cows. Yeah, that's the promise they put right on here. But it's called Utterly Smooth. And the reason that it's called Utterly Smooth is because they started making this lotion because the cow's udders. Who knows what an udder is? Gavin knows what an udder is. You said cow, right? It has something to do with cows? Yeah, has anybody ever seen a picture or a video of milking a cow? The part that you milk is called the udder. Or at least the part that holds the milk. I'm not actually up on my cow anatomy really well. But it's that region is called the udder. And those, when they would get milked a lot, their skin would get really dry. And so they made this to help their skin not be so dry. But they're making a promise on here that there's no milk and there's no cow products in this lotion. It's just to help cows or to help us if we have dry hands. When we make promises, what does that mean? You're telling somebody something, and what else does it mean, Maddie?
It means that you're telling them,
you're telling them something, and it's not just a normal telling them something. Anybody else want to take a crack at it, Maddie? It's something you're not going to break. It's something people can trust, right? Because if I just say, hey, guys, I wanted you guys to know that I'm 4 years old. Well, I don't know about that, right? But if I say to you, I promise you I am 32 years old, that means you can really trust me, right? I'm not going to go back on this. Maddie can't believe how old I am. Yeah, I'm ancient, right? That's what a promise is about. A promise is something that you can really trust in, okay? That's what a promise is. And a promise has a lot to do with how trustworthy the person is making the promise. So, if the Utterly Smooth people promise you there's no milk in here, do you think we ought to believe them? I think so. I think we can trust them, right? Well, we're going to hear in our first lesson today about a promise that God has made to Abraham, okay? And God has promised Abraham that he is going to have children, and they will 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 have children, so that Abraham's descendants will be like looking up at the stars. There'll be that many of them. And Abraham's not really sure about that because he's getting really old and he doesn't have any kids yet. And he's like, I don't know if I'm even going to ever have children. How can I be sure about this? And the way that Abraham can be sure is because the one making the promise to him is God. And do you think God is pretty trustworthy? Yeah, right? When God makes promises, God keeps those promises and we can trust them. And so Abraham did have children, and they had children, and they had children, and they had children. So God's promise was trustworthy. The other promise that we talk about that God makes to us is when we come up here and we have baptism, we say that God claims you and promises us eternal life. And that's a promise we can trust, right? Because who's the one making the promise? God. And God is trustworthy. God is steadfast. God keeps God's word. So I think we can trust that this lotion doesn't have any milk in it and doesn't have any cow products in it. I think that's pretty trustworthy. But a promise from God is the best and most trustworthy thing that there is. And God promises that God loves you and God will care for you and hold you. And that is pretty awesome. So I know you guys have some hands up. We can maybe talk maybe after church. Is that all right? Okay, cool. Would you guys say a prayer with me, though? You guys can repeat after me. Lord God, you promise to care for us, to love us, and to save us. Thank you. Amen. Wonderful. Okay, hold right here for just a minute. If you guys are going to Children's Church, you can line up over here. If you want to stay with us in church, you're welcome to do that too, and you can head back to your seats. Thank you for cleaning up my mess.
You're welcome.
The first reading this morning is from the book of Genesis. After all these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, you have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir. But the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own issue should be your heir. He brought him outside and said, look towards the heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. Then he said to them, so shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned to him as his righteousness. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give this land to possess. But he said, O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it? He said to him, bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. He brought all of them and cut them in two, lying each half over against the other, but he did not cut the birds in two. And when the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away, and the sun was going down. A deep sleep fell upon Abram, and a deep and terrifying darkness descended upon him. When the sun had gone down, it was dark. A smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between these pieces. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to you, descendants, I give this land, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates. The word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let's read responsibly a whole verse by Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Though an enemy encamp upon me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rises up against me, yet I will be confident. For he will hide me in the shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock.
He will
Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You who have been my help, do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation.
If my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up.
Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord.
The second reading this morning is from the book of Philippians. Brothers and sisters, join in imitating me, and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. I have often told you of them, and now I tell you, even with tears, their end is destruction. Their God is in the belly. Their glory is in their shame. Their minds are set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and it's from here that we are expecting Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humiliation, that it may conform to the body of his glory, by the power that enables him to make all things subjected to himself. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in his ways, my beloved. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I'm going to invite you to stay seated. We're going to do something unorthodox.
I think I'd like to sing the hymn now, because I realized this morning that I bit off too many things and my sermon sits on the front seat of my car, and I could probably wing it, but it might be better if I had it. So I'm just going to go get it, and let's sing, and then we'll read the gospel. Is that all right? The hymn, we'll sing the hymn of the day, and so that is 592, Just As I Am. And just as I am, you're going to have to forgive me, because that's where we are this morning.
Thank you.
If you'll stay standing. Sorry, I'm just switching up the order on you today. The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 13th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." Jesus said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophet and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Well, as I made my parking lot jaunt out here, I saw, I passed Herbert making a similar parking lot jaunt, and he said that he was headed to something, some kind of big fire on the interstate. So can we just say a prayer for those folks real quick? Gracious God, we don't know what your emergency workers are rushing toward, but we pray that you would go with them, that you would keep them safe, and that you would use them to bring healing and life to those in peril right now, in whatever danger. Keep folks safe, Lord, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for your patience on that. That's a new one for me, I think. But we got this great imagery here in the 13th chapter of Luke, where Jesus compares himself to a mother hen brooding over her chicks, gathering them under the wing. It's a beautiful picture, and it's one of the most obvious places that we get feminine imagery used in the scriptures for God, which is a good reminder for us always that God is not male, even if sometimes we say he. God actually created male and female, and so traits we associate with a particular gender, they all came from God and were all made in the image of God. So just so we're all clear, it's always good to be reminded of that, right? But here we have Jesus saying he wants to gather all of the children of Jerusalem together like that hen under the wing. And in contrast to that is Herod, right? Who Jesus describes as that fox. Probably not a coincidence, right? That in the same few verses, Jesus compares himself to a brooding hen, and he calls Herod a fox. I'm guessing we've got more than a few folks in here who might have raised some chickens at some point in their life. Anybody? All right, I have a couple brave enough to raise their hands, but I suspect more of you have been around chickens. Let me ask you this. Do foxes and chickens get along? No, right? We know that, even if we've not raised chickens, because it's this ancient and universal struggle between keepers of chickens and foxes all over the world. And this is a serious conflict, right? A couple of years ago, I was reminded of just how serious predators can be in pursuit of hens. A friend and colleague of Carrie's had us over to their house in Clemens, and they were so excited to show us their new chicken coop. They were just as pleased as they could be with their new pets. But it wasn't very long after that, maybe a couple of weeks at tops, that Carrie brought home some grim news. Her friend was devastated because raccoons had gotten to their hens and killed them all. And you could tell it was raccoons by the distinctive and unpleasant way that had been done. The raccoons didn't get inside the coop. They had pulled the chickens through. And they were devastated to find this gruesome scene the next morning when she went to check in on the family pets. So from there on out, they got really, really serious about their chicken protection. The coop was upgraded and locked down tight, and then they set up game cameras around the area so they'd know exactly what they were dealing with. And with these cameras, they found that the hens' defenses were regularly being tested by local predators. They saw some raccoons, but they also found that there were many more predators looking for a way to get at the hens, and some of their pictures made it onto social media. Not surprisingly, foxes were frequent visitors, and I think we've got one of the slides that came from their game camera there. And I like this one because that fox is just staring down that metal rooster up there on the pole, sizing it up like he's not sure what to do. Given the opportunity, this fox and others would gladly make a meal out of the hens, and particularly foxes are known for going into a frenzy and killing even the birds that they're not planning to eat. And this fox and those raccoons weren't the only ones stalking the coop. I was interested to see that there was this bobcat also prowling after the hens. That's up in Clemens. And he was so interested that he came back. This is the next night. He came back for a closer look. I think that's good, Neil. Thank you. So I was fascinated to follow this saga as they continue to post new predator pictures on social media. And it really has been driving home the point for me. All kinds of predators are out to get these hens. And I think we can say something similar about Jesus, right? All kinds of folks are out to get him too. At various times, it's Herod, the Pharisees, even though at this point some of them are warning Jesus. The temple authorities are out to get Jesus, and finally the Romans do get hold of him. Jesus has plenty of enemies, and from the way he responds to the Pharisees' warning, Jesus knows this, right? He knows there are all kinds of people out to get him. But Jesus does not let that stop him from doing his work. Even the promise of torture and death does not stop Jesus from being who he is, the Messiah, the beloved Son of God, the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Herod, the chief priest, Pilate, they are dangerous enemies, but none of them are able to shake Jesus from his mission, ushering in the kingdom of God that brings restoration and wholeness where there was before only brokenness. So Jesus keeps right on with his business, healing, casting out demons, and teaching as he walks this road that he knows leads to Jerusalem where he will be killed. But Jesus will not stoop to the level of the powers of this world. He does not meet force with force, but in the vulnerability of the cross. Met with threats of violence from the fox, Jesus responds another way. As a mother hen whose love for her children is such that she gathers them up under her wings, that her very body would bring safety, warmth, and comfort in their distress. Even as the predators circle around him, Jesus makes the decision not to flee, not to save himself. He carries on caring for those who are vulnerable. During Lent, we retell the story of Jesus' journey to Jerusalem and the cross, and we don't do that as a really good guilt trip on ourselves or anybody else. We don't do that to make us all depressed about what happened to Jesus. We retell this story every year because it is good news for us and for all people. It goes like this. Very God incarnate comes down to earth on a mission of love, and not even certain death can keep Jesus from finishing the work that God has come to do, casting out demons, healing, and importantly for us, restoring right relationship with God. This is the story we tell during Lent. As much as we have failed, as the people God would have us be and calls us to be, our repentance, our focus on returning to the Lord during this season, is not about beating ourselves down. It's about gratitude for what God has done for us. And this is actually what Lenten disciplines are all about, making changes in our lives, even if they're small ones, changes that intentionally focus on God, that reconnect us to our Creator, that draw us back to the warmth and safety of the one who loves us and wants to protect us like a mother hen. How do we receive such an over-the-top, undeserved gift like forgiveness of sins and eternal life? Let's hope we receive it in a way that honors the giver and the gift. We're about a week and a half into this season of Lent now. It's not too late to think about what changes we can make to honor God, the giver, more fully. And whatever else you land on, I'm inviting us all this season to start with this. Be intentionally grateful. By which I mean, you may or may not feel grateful, but there is a ton to be grateful for. So be intentional about naming those things. This is what we're looking at on Wednesday nights in Lent. And what I'm asking folks to do is during this week, write down 5 things every day that you are grateful for. Because sometimes gratefulness, thanksgiving, takes practice, right? It sometimes needs to be a discipline. So we're going to continue to follow Jesus in the next weeks as willfully and knowingly he heads toward Jerusalem and the cross. He goes toward all the foxes, raccoons, and bobcats, and all the rest who are out to get him. He knows it will get him killed. But he goes anyway. And he goes for your sake and mine. He goes for the sake of bringing in the kingdom of healing and peace. What a gift. So, with our lives and our worship, we seek to honor the gift and the giver. Thanks be to God. Amen. We'll stand as we continue with our creed.
Let us reaffirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty.
Of Almighty God, we offer our prayers for the church, for all people in need, and for all of creation. Compassionate God, call your people to stand firm as citizens of heaven. As we are humbled by your wondrous love, nurture such mercy in our hearts and ministries. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. Lord, drown out the terror in the world with acts of loving kindness and generosity. Release political leaders from pride and fear to act justly that they might serve all their citizens. Hear us, O God. Lord, rush to answer all who cry out to you in times of trial. Especially we pray for the victims of the mosque shootings in New Zealand and for all who need shelter and are vulnerable with illness or grief. We lift up especially Burnett, Harold, Lydia, John, Sheila, Lydia, Gary, Sue, Bill, Joanne, Jana, Barbara, Sharon, Gaynell, Barbara, Jen, Billy, Gracie, Eddie, Noah, Kevin, James, Robin, Dean, Vince, Walter, Marty, Scotty, Tyler, Ed, the family of Grace, Chuck, Kathy, Laura, Joe and Kathy, and all those we name now. Give shelter, Lord. Cover all who are vulnerable in the comfort of your mothering wings. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Grant solace, Lord, to people who long to be parents but have faced difficulty in bearing or adopting children. Build life-giving parent and child relationships for the sake of all. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Build up your holy community of saints through the work of bishops and missionaries. Spread your word through your people for the sake of the world. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Reveal your will as you receive our prayers, Lord, and conform our ways to your ways through the saving work of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. We share a sign of Christ's peace.
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts towards those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The gifts of God for the people of God. You may be seated. Dan. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith towards you and in fervent love towards one another, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you now and forever. Amen. Say together our mission statement on page 5. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship
and Christian education and respond in loving actions to a new world.
Let us go forth into the world with joy and peace in our hearts.